Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to Puma Podcast.
When a woman rocks the boat, there's going to be no shortage of people trying to shut her down. We need someone to say, hey, maybe we listen to her. Hey, wait, she has a good point. Or echo the point, you know. Have a conversation with your guy friends, because there's only so much that women can do when we're not even in the room. And even if we are, we're not the majority.
Hi, I'm Carl Javier, CEO of Puma Podcast, and you're listening to A Better Normal, where we talk about the intersections of creativity, entrepreneurship, and innovation. In this episode, I'm interviewing Siege Tantenko. She's the head of partnerships at Puma Podcast. She found her way here because she was an advocate in women's sports, and that's where we started Go Hard Girls. She's also the host of WhatsApp, Araling Panlipunan Rebooted, and 5 Minutes Lang. Hi, Siege. Welcome to A Better Normal.
Carl.
So we started working in Puma Podcast together not too far apart. And one of the first projects that we decided to embark on was Go Hard Girls. And now we've done, what, 5 seasons?
5 years.
5 years, 5 seasons. And I wanted to ask you about the progress from at first imagining a podcast and seeing where it is now as a community of women supporting women.
I don't think you'll ever know how much it meant to me when you approached me to do Go Hard Girls way back in 2019. Kasi back in that time, di ba, when you told me, it was para ako nasa movie, tapos bumukas yung langit, tapos yung mga anghel na, ha, pwede kang gumawa ng women in sports show. Kasi up until that point, everyone I had talked to within the sports industry was telling me that you're never gonna make that work. There's no market for it. There's no audience for it. That's not what people want. And I had come from a traditional sports media background where people had straight up told me to my face that 80% of sports fans are men, and this is based on our website metrics, so we should not do anything for women. And I was struggling with seeing the gender gap and feeling unable to do anything about it, plus experiencing the gender gap in my own life as a woman in sports. And when I think back to those days, I really appreciate where we are right now. And I can never take it for granted. Because right now, we've come so far. Last year, I hosted events in Nike's courtyard in BGC, and they were all women's events. And there's so much investment right now going into women's sports from the private sector. The media has also evolved. I don't see the same coverage that was the norm back then. Like back then, it used to be normal to write about female athletes' looks in a way that was very objectifying, very sexualized. And I don't see that anymore. And I think we're in the right direction. And for all of that to change in just 5 years, it feels wonderful.
I think yung mainstreaming of sports coverage, specifically women's sports coverage, is still on its way. I mean, the leagues locally, there's still a ways to go. It will take time for us to invest the same amount in women's sports as we do for men. But how crucial was communications about women's sports to starting this trend?
Well, di ba, para may sinasabi kasi sa women's movement, di ba, you can't be what you can't see. And so napakahalaga ng media coverage and the media messages towards fixing or improving the way that the public sees women in sports and women in general. Kasi alam mo yung pinaghuhugutan ko dito, bumabalik ako sa when I was a young sports reporter, parang culture shock talaga ako nung pagpasok ko sa sports. Kasi galing ako sa journalism where I had female bosses, I worked with very strong women. I was so proud and I felt like, oh, women, equality, we're in the future. Tapos pagpasok ko sa sports, parang hala, 1960s, but ganito. And there was so much back then, like to just paint the picture for you. It's so hard to imagine right now where we are. Pero just, you know, a few years ago, we had articles coming out where an all-male editorial team for a sports website created listicles about their volleyball crushes. Tapos parang minamanyak lang nila yung girls sa article. And this was published by a major publisher. When I was a courtside reporter, which is how I got into the sports industry, FHM made a listicle of us courtside reporters and they found the sexiest bikini photos that they could find. And then yun yung tinatabi nila beside our career achievements. And while this was happening, diba, parang yun yung pinaguhugutan ko dito na I don't think people know how it feels to be a woman. Like, and at that time, every time I raised this within the industry, I always heard, but this is what the audience wants. This is what gets clicks. This is what gets people to tune in. This is marketing. You have to give the people what they want. And I kept asking them, hindi ba pwedeng the other way around? Hindi ba may agenda setting theory of media na tayo naman ang magsabi kung paano tignan ang mga babae? The mainstreaming of it should have come from top down a long time ago, but we've actually had to claw at it ground up. You know, women advocates, women sports journalists, ground up because the top wasn't listening.
Question with regard to where things are now and with this community. Why do you think it's in sports? And the amazing thing is I've been able to witness when we've gathered the women fans of Go Hard Girls is it's not confined to one sport. Like they love many sports in a way that, you know, traditional macho views would be like, hindi naman mahilig sa sports ang mga babae. And then you see like, they cross over. They like a variety of things. Why has this been a space to galvanize this energy?
You know, I think the sense of community within women's sports is so much stronger than the sense of community in men's sports. Like, I think the average male sports fan, diba, they might be a fan of the NBA. They might be a fan of maybe a PBA team, a specific player, a UAAP team. Pero it's easy to just be like, okay, I'm good following the sport that I like. I have the content. But if you're into women's sports, you feel, even as an audience, you feel the gender gap because it's so hard to get media about the sport that you're interested in or the athletes that you're interested in. And I think somewhere in our brains, that sends a signal to us that, okay, we're underdogs and we're all underdogs together. And so when we get women athletes in the same space, you see that women athletes are more than willing to support each other, to back each other up, because we're not just bound by a shared interest in a sport, but we're bound by shared struggles, we're bound by shared challenges. We have probably been told the same gender role stereotypes, and we have all probably pushed back together. And so when we find each other, that sense of community is so strong.
Moving from this specific community and what you've built and what our team has built, I won't take any credit for it kasi talagang this is something that is coming from its own energy. But moving from sort of the great community that's been built with Go Hard Girls, I want to ask about how you think about leaders and leadership. Specifically, what are men not doing that they should be doing? And before you answer, the audience who may not know me yet but is listening to this should know, like, I'm a middle-aged straight dude raised in a very toxic masculine culture. But there's a lot of dudes like me who are employers, managers, who run companies. So what are we doing that we should not be doing, and what have we not done that we should start on?
You know, I think there are a lot of well-meaning men from every generation. I've seen it among millennials, I've seen it in Gen X and boomers. They're well-meaning. They're not trying to actively put us down, but they're going to not help us along the way. There were times, especially in the early days of the advocacy, I had men who publicly, they're like, I support women. Happy Women's Day. You know, and then they'll send me direct messages saying, hey, I support your advocacy, but I can't post about what you're doing, or I can't join your event, or I can't because it's not, you know, the other guys around me don't understand it. But, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with you. And I feel like we need to stop with the thoughts and prayers. We don't need another guy telling us through DM, hey, you know what? You're on the right track. Can't say anything, can't join you, but you're on the right track. We don't need any more guys being like, hey, you know, I really respect what you're doing. It's so brave. But then they're gonna hang out with, you know, the terrible men out there who are actively oppressing us. So parang, what we need guys to do is to be part of action. You know, help us with concrete action.
Yeah, I mean, what does that look like? Because what you're saying is that there are people who will express na I support, and that's not nothing, right?
It's not nothing.
But also, when you say it's not enough, I mean, there are levels to advocacy, and this is, I guess, a fair challenge. That's because it takes enough energy to make one person cross a line and say, yeah, maybe I should support women. Like the gap between, but equal, you know, the weird equal as a point for, but if I make these concessions for women, am I now disadvantaging men? Like there's these conversations there. And so you're not talking to a progressive. You're talking to hopefully everyone who needs to be convinced of this. I do think that that's one of the conversation killers is when you say it's not enough. While I might conceptually agree, for a lot of people, giving you that is already a big thing. But make concrete for the dudes who actually want to help and participate. Sure. What is a bare minimum? This is sort of a more challenging space than I've normally taken the show. I do want to make sure like I'm not imposing my own beliefs on this, but I want to convey an openness to understanding what are the opportunities for us to be better allies.
Sure. One easy exercise for men, think of the women who you support and think about whether these women all fit a certain type, or if in your head you've placed a certain requirement for a woman to be a certain way before you support them. So, for example, it's easy for many men to say, I support women's sports, volleyball, because volleyball fits our gender stereotypes of what a female athlete should be. Tall, slim, you know, in many cases, you have many beautiful volleyball players who have gotten a lot of media attention. But can you support women's basketball? Can you support someone like, say, Tantoy Ferrer, UAAP Finals MVP of the most recent season, who has short hair and is masculine presenting, diba? Is there a chance for you to support them too? When I was a young reporter, one of the moments that really, I guess, shaped where I am right now is I had a mentor who, up until that point, I really saw him as a progressive. I really saw him as someone who would back me up. Except when I started, and he was hiring women, he was vocal about the women athletes he supports, and I felt, okay, great, this is an ally. Except when I started speaking up more about the gender gap, he told me that I needed to stop because I'm going to rock the boat. And it made me realize that, you know, there are limits to the ways that some people imagine, you know, what it means to support something. So it basically what he's saying in that moment is, I'll support you up until the point that you rock the boat. I'll support you as long as you don't, you know, challenge anything directly. I think the industry has so much space for women who don't have a strong opinion. If you're a woman who is very soft and feminine and very like, yes, thank you, I'm so grateful to be here, thank you so much for giving the opportunity for me to be here, thank you, thank you, thank you. There is a space for women like that. But the industry turns really hostile the moment a woman is like, hey, can we change things? Can we fix things? And then it turns. And so I think what an ally would do, you know, a concrete action that the man can do. When a woman rocks the boat, there's going to be no shortage of people trying to shut her down. We need someone to say, hey, maybe we listen to her. Hey, wait, wait, she has a good point. Or echo the point, you know. Have a conversation with your guy friends, because there's only so much that women can do when we're not even in the room. And even if we are, we're not the majority. So there are lots of guys out there who only listen to fellow guys. So if you're a guy who wants to make a difference, you need to talk to your guy friends and be willing to take a stand as well. Is that helpful?
Well, yeah, because I guess the more concrete things for me here are, if I am in a room and a woman speaks up, make sure that she is given her moment to speak. I have my own inclinations toward meritocracy and the power of ideas, and that's what I would prefer to pursue. Whether it's it doesn't matter who's saying it, but I also have a keen sense of how, like you said earlier, when a big media outlet says women are only 20%, for me, it's women are at least 20% of the market. And it's a market that can be grown because they're being totally ignored. But that's me. And what I'm saying is, how do you lead the dudes who don't know how to be supportive yet? I feel like that may be the more helpful thing. Because I believe if you're listening to A Better Normal, you want to be an ally. You want to be a supporter. But what if you are one of those dudes who doesn't have like feminist friends? What if you're one of those dudes that like, because we know that there are also a lot of women who enable the current culture because they also don't sort of have the background or the training, and it's totally not their fault. They are in a culture. So if I am a dude who's trying to explore this, how do I move in that direction? What are my first steps?
Right. Wow. That's quite challenging because, you know, in my experience, I feel like I've only ever been able to reach guys who already have a starting baseline of inclination. You know, when I think about the men, the worst of the men who I worked with as a young reporter, they're still like that.
Yeah, because you're starting with an active resistance.
Yes.
And what I'm asking is, what if it's not active resistance? What if it's someone who, it takes a while. I'm only here because I'm old, dude. Like, I've been through a lot. I've been around a lot of people.
Yeah.
I had women friends who were patient enough with my dumb, you know, toxic masculine upbringing. they were patient enough with that to bring me around.
Yeah.
And so I'm asking you, how, if you are confronted with, like, you know, me 10, 15 years ago, what's that conversation? How do you bring someone into the fold?
Right. So I think every guy, you know, not all guys have a feminist friend, but every guy has a mom. Every guy has, you know, I don't know, a sister, a daughter, an aunt. There's a woman in your family. And I want you to look at your mom and just imagine, what if someone said, your mom is not good for anything unless she's young and beautiful and sexy? What if someone told your mom, you know, if your career, you know, matters to you so much, you should also put as much effort into looking good while you do it? What if someone told your mom, you know, oh, your career's gonna expire by a certain year once you hit a certain age, and you just have to accept it? If with anything that I said, medyo nasaktan ka para sa nanay mo, isipin mo, that's what so many women go through every day. And maybe that can help concretize it in your head.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Once we come to the thought, what brings us down the path of allyship? It's the, let me be nicer to my mom and my sister. Sure, right? Those are concrete steps, but
it's also limited.
Yeah.
I know. I think so. That's like the big challenge, thank you for challenging me because it is such a big challenge. Because I think we women advocates are so good at organizing women, but the challenge is how do we get the men, right? And how do we make it easy for guys, right?
I think that's where I'm trying to go with this is, and I wanted to factor in the fact that, there are all of these studies showing that, especially with young people, women are mostly left-leaning progressive, and men are increasingly becoming more right-leaning conservative.
Yes.
Because the women can kind of show up and say, ugh, because men, and men suck, and stuff like this. Because they are brought up with an awareness of this in culture and in literature and so on, that they perceive all of the injustice, which is totally valid. But at the same time, you wind up having young boys and men who probably haven't actively done anything misogynistic yet.
Yes.
But then they become the target of, ugh, men, yuck, ganyan. Yeah. And that pushes them on a path. And so that's part of this is, how do you help men become allies in a way that is not confrontational? And I know I'm asking you to carry me through a lot of this. And I know that men need to do the work.
Yeah. Like,
men need to do the work. But
you're
also
just
sometimes
asking for a map.
Sometimes we're not very smart, right? Oh. We need, like, when men try to be allies, let's be honest, right? Sometimes a man will try to be an ally and he will do the wrong thing. So how do we navigate this? I don't know if that's a fair question.
No. This is a fair question. This is a fair question. And I think you're hitting upon an interesting phenomenon in our world right now. And that is, everywhere, the media is starting to get on the train, at least publicly, on women empowerment. The brands are on women empowerment. There is no longer, when I was saying earlier that you don't see the sexist coverage anymore, that's not because the men have stopped having sexist views. They still exist. It's still happening in the Viber groups. But right now, the climate is so hostile towards any sexism, and you're going to get called out right away. You're going to get canceled. And the world seems to be on women's side, at least publicly. But you're hitting upon something very important, which is in private spheres, the men are resenting this. They are feeling excluded.
Yes.
They are feeling like their way of life is being taken away from them. I've been in workshops I've been in FGDs where older male journalists have expressed, we have been censored. People told us that we're sexist, but I'm not sexist. I've been covering women's sports all my life. So what if I want to call them sexy? It's true. They're sexy. Stop censoring me. And that's how grabe. It's also happening like to young boys. Right. And it's such a dilemma because I guess 50 years ago, the problem was that the world, the media was oriented towards men. And then women were discovering that, hey, we're disenfranchised. Yeah. But then now, in empowering women, nobody said we're disempowering men, but many young men feel that because they don't have a place in the movement, because women's events tend to be primarily for women, they are perceiving it as women versus men, when actually all we wanted as women was to become equal to men and to break down barriers and for us to be all in the same playing field. But if you didn't grow up in that kind of household and if you weren't exposed to these kinds of messages, how will you know? So I think it's so important for us as advocates for women or brands working with women that we need to include boys and men within our program development. So what does this mean? For example, in Go Hard Girls, we're launching a mini grants program right now. And this is for any sports journalist who wants to cover more women's sports. Maybe this isn't their beat in their regular job. Maybe they have been discouraged from covering it. Who knows, right? But if you want to cover women, you have a home here in Go Hard Girls. And we're going to be offering financial incentives towards this. And this is going to be open to men and women. And I think that's important because this allows male sports journalists to step to the plate and say, I want to do it. We make it easy for you. And I think that's how it should be. Maybe when we have women's tournaments, let's make an active effort to invite men so that they become part of this this club of people who are supporting women's sports. Maybe when we have women empowerment events, we don't limit our media invite lists to the women journalists to cover the event. We also send the PR to the men, I think.
It's an interesting puzzle because when we were organizing some of the Go Hard Girls events, I was very intentional that it should be for women and only women. And I think that when you create women-only spaces, you create some measure of safety that cannot be attained if there's like some random dude, no matter how nice and unthreatening.
It's true.
And so, meron kasing value to an all-woman space. Mm. And I guess that's the challenge, I think, is for men to be comfortable when there are all-women spaces. It's weird kasi may mga... For men, kasi it's so normal. May man cave. Meron place where just the bros hang out. Like, it's just all dudes. And it's like normal and totally non-threatening for all men to be in a space. But I know how if you have a space full of women and you, even if you put the nicest, most well-meaning guy there, nagbabago din.
Something happens.
Yeah. There is something there. So, I guess we're not going to come to any answers at this point. But the awareness of how bringing men into the mix will change an environment, I guess, or the feeling of safety. You know?
And that's such a hard thing because, you know, Carl, you were saying it earlier. It's actually the men who don't have a background who we need to bring on board. But the problem is if we have an all-women space and you bring a guy like that on board, it will definitely change the dynamic and the safety levels of women. So I was recently in a focus group discussion and, you know, it started off, there were some men and they were introducing themselves as allies and I was so happy. Mm-hmm. I felt so comfortable. But as the focus group discussion went on and they started revealing certain attitudes towards women, you could see the women in the room tense up and you could see them like, you could see women calculate in their heads, how do I challenge this idea without upsetting him, without this becoming confrontational, without calling him out? How do we do this? And so I think kami tayo as women, like we've struggled with this for so long. You know, we've been running that algebra in our head for so long. Yeah. Of how do we make our point while also not offending them and leaving the door open, you know, to paraphrase the Barbie monologue, right? You gotta be assertive, but not too assertive. You have to make a point but not be weak, but you know, and it's all happening at the same time. And it's so hard. So yeah. I don't know. I don't have an answer except maybe I want to become a mom and I want to raise a good boy and maybe that's my contribution to society.
Intergenerational solutions. No, but
yeah.
Because I don't sit around going, will women be upset by my idea? Like I don't have that barrier, but women have it. And I think that's one of the big steps for us is to really acknowledge that the experience of like a cishet male is totally different and inevitably privileged, regardless of economic status. There is some privilege in being a cishet male. And yes. So thinking about how we interact with women is important and how we create space. Because by default, the spaces are built for us. Mm. By default, the culture is built around us. I belong to a generation where all of the culture is marketed toward us. And that's why you get all of this toxic nerd stuff on the internet. It's because men are used to being served. And the moment that we're not served with what we want, woke na siya. Or ayaw namin. Or egalitarian.
When you're used to having so much privilege, just equity will feel like oppression to you.
Yeah, because and, it feels like quote-unquote seeding ground or whatever.
Yeah, it feels like, hey, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm wrong? What do you mean my way of living is wrong? Ganun yung dating. And I remember there was, during the pandemic, I gave an interview on TV about violence against women in sports because there was a very big case. And I don't know if you remember, back in 2022, a famous basketball player was publicly accused by his ex-fiance of like horrendous physical abuse. And I went on TV to give an interview about how do we break down this culture of abuse in our sports world and the lack of accountability. And I prepared for 2 days straight for that interview. I was terrified of getting it wrong. I was terrified of, you know, what if I don't make the point in the absolute best way? And even today, you know, I'm talking to you right now, I am second guessing the stuff that I said 20 minutes ago, because in my head, did I represent this in the absolute best way possible? Or did I mess up? Did I make a mistake? Did I do this right? There's so much pressure on women. And then I think of how after that interview came out, one of the men that I used to work with told one of our mutual friends, well, you know, Siege has no right to speak about violence against women. She's never been punched. Mm. And I don't know. I don't know how to reach that guy, Carl. I don't know. That guy is younger than you. He's around my age.
As most men are, you know.
He's around my age. Like, so I don't know what to do. He's around my age. He has a daughter. What am I supposed to do? Right? Like, I don't know anymore.
Well, I guess we have
done so much. And I don't know. What I challenge you. What should men do as a man?
It's like coalition building and party building and stuff. There's some people who will never be on your side. There's some people who will never vote with you. There's some people who will never support the advocacies that you hold. And sometimes you have to accept that and you look for the reachable. So I will end this with the Miss Universe question for the reachable, which is, you've done a great job through Go Hard Girls and your other platforms in making communities and connections of women supporting women. How do we move that from women supporting women to women and men who support women?
Well, I think there's hope. Let me say that as a
Miss Universe answer to the question. Hope is
hope. As an answer to your Miss Universe question, and as a Lord of the Rings girl, there is always hope. Sabi ni Aragorn. So I think that for as many terrible experiences as I've had as a woman in sports, you know, for all of the harassment, all of the gender bias, everything, I have also met a lot of wonderful allies who are men. The first crowdfunding donor of Go Hard Girls when we were starting out was attorney Mickey Ingles and the Ingles Laurel Calderon Law Firm. Men. We have grantees who are going to be part of this Go Hard Girls grant program who are men. And I remember even when it feels like where is the progress? You know, like I look at this new generation of men and I see so many guys who are just with the program, and I don't need to convince them, and I don't need to be like, hey guys, can you respect women? Because they're already there and they're already advocating. So I have hope. I have hope that those boys can do their own bottom-up mission. I hope those boys can reach the men in their circle. I hope that us women are also able to find a way to incorporate men into our spaces while protecting women and also bringing men into the fold. You know, coalition building is so hard. It's really so hard. It's a lifetime of figuring this out. And I don't have all the answers, but I'm just here trying to figure it out, you know. And so that's what I'm going to do. And I hope if you're listening, you do it too.
Yeah, thanks, Sij. So hoping that this conversation obviously doesn't have the big answers, but it starts us towards a path to finding them.
Thanks.
This episode was a little more challenging than most episodes are. And so these three takeaways are pretty big, and they have left me with a lot to think about. First is that it's actually really encouraging to hear that there has been progress in the coverage of women's sports. We may not feel it when we don't follow it regularly, but I understand how meaningful this is to women athletes and to women sports fans. The next is that we need to make space. And when I say we, it means everyone, but also specifically dudes, but also specifically anyone who can make space so that the world can be a little more equitable. And whether that's for women or any other group that you feel needs empowerment, I think we need to embrace that. And we can start with embracing how we can empower women. And the last thing, you may have heard how both Sij and I struggled to come up with any answers. I think that's because there are no easy answers, and that's the big takeaway. We need to start asking these questions. We need to interrogate things. We need to make space for wherever someone is coming from. I think one of the challenges in our current environment is that we're too quick to judge or to cancel or to not want to listen to what the other side is saying or where they're coming from. Meeting somewhere that may not necessarily be the middle, but that we can agree on to start from is really important. And that's just starting with those questions and deciding that we need answers if we're all going to move forward together. So thanks to Sij Tantenko for dealing with a really, really challenging conversation with me. And thanks to you listeners for sitting through it and hopefully sharing what you learn here with other people that are important to you in your lives, and for us all supporting Women's Month. And thanks to the team that makes this show possible. Our producer, Geraldine Pascual, our audio editor for today, Joe Salcedo, and the entire Puma podcast crew that powers this show. I've been your host, Carl Javier, and you've been listening to A Better Normal. If you want to keep the conversation going, you can follow Puma Podcast on all the socials and follow me on IG. It's at Carl Javier, Carl with a C. If you liked this episode, please do me and at least one of your friends a favor. Tell a friend about this episode and this podcast so we can build a community of people making a better normal.